First Corinthians 3. You said 13? Thank you. I'm going to start writing down where we leave off. So 3:13. We know last week where Paul talked about he was the master builder, right? And he had laid the foundation and another built on it, or others would build on it. And the other foundation could no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, just a question for you guys. We know that Jesus Christ, when he said he laid the foundation, what was Paul's foundation of Jesus Christ? Put it that way. When he laid the foundation, he said, "I laid the foundation, and no other foundation can be laid than Jesus Christ." Well, what about Peter?
Mystery versus prophecy.
Didn't Peter? Yeah. When Peter laid his foundation, it was Jesus Christ too, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's just like you just said, it was when Peter, he used it as for this earth, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And Paul laid it, he laid the foundation, it was Jesus Christ, the heavenly, resurrected, ascended, seated at God's right hand, according to the mystery program, Christ. We might not think that's a big idea, but you hear people say all the time, they say, "Well, we follow Jesus." What Jesus said trumps everything. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
And even today, when you try to explain that, sometimes the latest thing, where for example, suppose you talk to somebody and you give them some instructions. And the last thing they hear is, "Okay, Blake, I want you to meet me at the end of Virginia Cove or Virginia Run at 6:45. And you're headed on the way out, and I call you back and say, "Hey, scratch that. Meet me at 7. Now, if you go out at 6:45.
Yeah, I can be there.
Mm-hmm. Because I gave you what?
New instructions.
So then that's what we call progressive revelation, is you can follow through the scripture and then they'll stop at Jesus and say, "Well, Jesus, what he said, that's it." But they don't realize that he spoke again later, and he spoke and he gave some other information. And that information is directly for you, for us today. And that's where people have a disconnect, is they feel like this. If Jesus didn't say it, then it's not for me.
But he said it to Paul for us.
Like Paul. And he said, "Whomever I sent."
We know that.
But
I'm saying, when you talk to people and you start talking about Paul,
it's his opinion.
Everything you say, you say, "Well, Paul said this." And they say, "Why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep talking about Paul?" And they don't realize, right, like when Karen said, he said that whomsoever I send, if you receive them, you receive me. That's what a representative is. Is somebody who isn't, I'm here on the behalf of him, of Christ. So, but anyway, he says, "I laid the foundation and another foundation can't be laid." And he says, that's what's so important, is when he starts using those personal pronouns, like "I," he says, "I have laid the foundation." Right here, he says, "I have laid the foundation." Verse 10, he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." He says, "And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? If you can just read that, and you can tell that this is somebody who's speaking with authority. Well, if you didn't know it, you would have to ask yourself, well, where did that authority come from? It came from Christ. And not the earthly ministry, that's what I'm telling you. It was something later where his glorified message trumps what they heard on earth. He says, verse 12, now if any man build on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, Paul, you remember the term we were using, when he's using all the building terms. Like, we know who the building is, right? Who's the building?
Us.
We are, right?
Yeah.
Right. The church, the believers. And he says, you're the building, you're the what? Verse 9, you're the husbandry, which is the field. Right? He says, we haven't got that far. He's going to tell you in verse 16 that you're the temple. So I'm just going to write these words up here just for our remembrance. He's got husbandry. He's got, what's that one?
Temple, but what was before husbandry?
Building.
Building.
And that's coming up. Temple. And then he's using this. He's using foundation. Using all those terms and those words that we should remember, because this is, he said, it's what? It's God's husbandry. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You are God's temple. You belong to who? To God. That's why Paul's saying. He says, I'm just giving instructions of what you are to give other people. You know, other people want to labor with us or labor with Paul. He says, I'm just telling you that he told me what you are to give the body, because this is something God is doing in us. You know, we're just we've been entrusted with a message. Now, how many preachers do you think really know this? Let me rephrase that. They may know that on paper, but how many really believe, you know what, that you belong to God? Because they'll I give you an example. We were in a conference in Tupelo last couple of months ago, and the guy came in and he says, you know what's wrong with the people? He said, what's wrong with the people is they don't hold God's man in esteem. And I'm thinking, I know he's not talking about Paul. That's the man I'm thinking about. He was talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was another church over there.
Oh.
And we went over there, and we went over there and talked to the man,
okay.
And he was like, "They don't hold God's man in esteem. They don't do what the man of God tells them." So I'm thinking, okay, what is he? He says. So if I give them a job to do, I'm like, oh, you talking about you? I'm thinking, oh, wow. I said, so that's his husbandry.
Yeah.
That's his building. That's something he's working. And Paul said this. He says, I laid it. This is God's working. He says, now I've laid the information down. I've laid the instructions down for whomever is coming after me. If he's going to talk to you, I got the information and how he's to do it. He says, and let every man take heed how he does it. You know, you can't listen to everybody. Well, you should be evaluating too.
You can give a hearing, but then you've got some criteria to
you should. You should.
To validate it by.
Right, you should. But that's, you know what, that's our job, is us who have a little bit of information, a little more information, where you can go to somebody and say, you know, Jenny, I know that guy sounds good, but you should really look at it in the light of this. Because a lot of people work for the church, the brick and mortar church.
Conflict of interest.
They don't work for God.
Lay a lot of stubble on the foundation.
They lay a lot of stubble on a big pile of stubble. Mm-hmm. And he said this. Come on, Mike.
I was telling her, they say if you work for the church, you work for God.
That's what they do tell us that, don't they? Mm-hmm. If you're working for the, you know what?
So you pray for the church, you pray for God.
Now, I'll say this because I know people. He said this. Paul said this in Colossians. He says, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all like you're doing it to God. Do it and unto God. Now, if you have that in your mind, I'll say, okay, use it that way. You use it like that. Think of it that way. If you have a job, it says, well, I'm doing this. Or like, even if you give money. Yeah, so I'm giving this. You don't know what they're going to do with the money. Even if somebody says, well, you know what they're doing with that money. He says, I'm giving to the Lord. I'm just using it as a disclaimer. But most times is this. Is, you know where I go? You know where I go. This is my usher day. This is the choir day. This is we have a program today. It's not for edification. It's my duty. Mm-hmm. This is time, my day to teach.
And it's reclassifying the church.
Reclassifying the church?
In other words, we are the church. Right? I mean, we're supposed to be ministering to one another.
Right.
Not to an organization, to
under a building,
right? And we've turned it into a you know, I tell you what. For example, you think Paul? How do you think services went in Paul's day? You think they got up and, you know, they came up and said, you know, had a little devotion, and then they went to the next phase and they took up the offering, and then they read the announcements. You think he did that in his day when they went out to meet?
They were talking about.
You know, look at this. Look at Acts 20. I think we read this before. Now, we progress. You know, I understand this is 2014 and, you know, things evolve, processes evolve, or devolve.
Say exactly the same.
Acts 20. Matter of fact, you know, before we read that, go back to Acts 19. Got it? Acts 19:8. And he went into, this is Paul, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, what I want is he separated them into the school.
In smaller groups, basically?
In the school is what I want. They were in the synagogue, which was the place of the religious worship of that day. He went in and he was disputing with them, trying to show them the Lord Jesus. And when they rejected him, he went somewhere else and he took the believers and went into the school of this Tyrannus. What do you think, if you were a Jew in that day and you saw, here's a man over here preaching and teaching in the school, not in the synagogue. You would look at them and say, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them people? Right. Why are they in the synagogue? What's the big deal?
Something wrong.
That's a heresy over there. Yeah. Who was right?
Paul.
Paul was right. And he separated them into the school of Tyrannus. And he did it not 1 week, not 2 weeks,
2 years.
2 years. And he said, so that all in Asia heard the word. Now, that means that they were coming in there to hear it. And it wasn't a church building either. It was some husbandry going on in there, and some building going on in there, some edification going on in there. And like I told you, how do you think they didn't come in and say, let's take our song books and let's just sing this verse? Or I bet you when they went in, that's right. You know what? One more. Look at verse. Look at Acts. Did I say 20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Acts 20.
Said they sung songs and hymns and spiritual songs. They were singing doctrine.
Right.
I mean, and even look at the song today. There's so much.
Which, I mean,
bad doctrine.
And that's why it's important for us to.
Because I'm not marching to Zion.
That's your jam.
Well, you know what? I like the old hymns. I like the old hymns. So
don't get me wrong. I like the old hymns.
And even some of the contemporary hymns.
But you got to draw the line if it's singing about something that's not doctrinal.
That's true. You know what? In Detroit, our pastor used to say this. He said, and he would correct him. He would correct us all the time. And he said, you know what? You can sing a lie as well as tell a lie.
That's right.
You know, like you say, just the songs you sing, even just like the way it sounds, like showers of blessings, showers of blessings. You ever heard that song?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, well, wait a minute. He said, he just told you that he blessed you with what?
All spiritual
blessings. And why are you saying you need showers of blessings
when you
got them all?
My sin and won the victory.
You understand what I'm saying, though.
Yep.
And yet we know, we can sing them and we can enjoy them because we know. We should know. And you just take it, you know what? I'll say take it with a grain of salt because what people say is you going too far with that. You know,
it's like you got to filter it out just like you filter out normal, like listen to the radio, like even songs you like. You know, you know, it's like you know that they can be singing about something that's bad, or it's like, but hymns and stuff are the same way. It's like sometimes they don't
line up,
especially the newer stuff.
Right. You know what? Just remind me. I won't. Right, you have to weigh that stuff out. But you could always, you know what? If you correct it in your mind, you can still enjoy it. Like, you know what? Take the meat, throw the bones out. Right?
Yeah.
And then it's your job. You know what? After you maybe you get to know somebody, and you can say, Maybe they believe that stuff. And you have to show them. You know, I didn't like fish. I'm giving this example. I didn't always like fish because I didn't know how to get the bones out of it. But as I began to start to see different things, I saw people, you know what, and I saw something where the lady showed how you can separate it and get all the meat off of it.
Yeah.
My wife won't eat fish. I have to really, really try to get all the bones out of it, and she still, yeah.
Just,
but I'm more comfortable with it. So the same way with just the regular fish, but the way we approach things of liberty. People have liberty to listen to songs they want to listen to, don't they? And we can't be overcritical and then say, why are you listening to that? That's not doctrinally correct. We can do it in love.
We have the liberty to extend grace.
We have the liberty to extend grace. Right. Let them. You didn't always listen to. You didn't always know that that wasn't right.
Right.
So give them a little room to grow like we did. And you can appreciate the song. Like after you take the bones out. Right. Can you not? Okay. Acts 20. Verse 20. Now, this is the same Paul. Look, let me show you how committed this man was. What we just read, the verses we just read, he was in Ephesus. Okay? He was in Ephesus. And Acts 20. He's calling the Ephesian elders. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he said this, verse 17. And from Miletus, 2017. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Hey, I didn't want to stop there, but I have to stop there. When you read the Pauline letters, watch his affection when he's writing to the believers. You can see his humility, like he said, his humility and his love for them. That's not a man who's trying to drive people. That's not a man who's trying to control people. His whole goal is for edification, to build the saints up. And everywhere you can see it, especially when you read the Corinthian letters. I mean, it's in all of them, but I love that when I start reading that and I see that, I say, man, this is a man who really, right. Listen, he said that, or Sherry just read that. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He said, this wasn't fake. He said, humility of mind. He said, this is what I'm thinking. He didn't go in town and say, Paul the Apostle is going to be here. He says, I'm here. He didn't come in there and say, I'm here, everybody. I'll be here next week. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Come on out to the building. What's that, Angie?
Look at me.
Self-glorification.
He didn't come in with his long apostolic robe on. Coming in with... Have somebody carrying this scroll, carrying the scroll behind them. He said, that wasn't the way I'm thinking. And he said this. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. What? Paul, you're a grown man. That's something, huh? You know what? And he wasn't, I don't think he wasn't just crying because they was trying to get him either. He was crying. You know what? He was talking. Let's keep going. I'm going to show you something else where we could keep going here. He says, and how I kept back, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you how? Publicly, Tyrannus. And from what?
House to house.
House to house. You know what? His ministry was 24 hours, 7-day access. When they got out of that school, you know what? He says, and I went to your house. I went to your house. I taught you at your house. House to house. He says, I didn't keep back anything that I thought would build you up. Even if they, you know what, some of us, we have things that would benefit other believers, but we won't tell them. We won't tell them. Let me get an example, just a quick example. I was talking to a guy, he says, man, he says, I think I want to marry this girl. I was like, oh. I know the guy, he kind of different. It'd be hard for him, in my opinion, it would be hard for him to if he had to ditch her and start over again, he might have a hard time. So I'm thinking, man, he found somebody that really wants to be with him? I say, man, but you know what? She didn't believe the same thing. So I'm like, but she is she saved? He says, well, yeah, but she was grounded in the Pentecostalism. So I'm thinking, well, they could probably work that out. You know?
Yeah.
So I said, that's good, man. I said, well, what's the date? And he said, well, we don't have a date yet. He says, well, we're just trying to feel our way through it. I said, what do you think? I know what the scripture says. It's, you know what, that we should not be unequally yoked. That's not just believer or unbeliever. That's also in the religious realm. Matter of fact, that's what the passage is talking about, is religious convictions.
Be pulling in different directions.
So, you know what I said? You never know, because you might get people on the same page, same, you know, doctrine, and it may not work. We know believers who believe grace, and they got a divorce. Shoot, my wife might divorce me. But I'm saying, but that's because somebody's not adhering to the doctrine. So you know what? You're setting yourself up for it. You have to.
You going in with the deficit.
Right. You going in with the odds stacked against you. So I said, you know what? Well, I said, you grown, you know what the scripture says. I said, but if you love her, if you think you can work it out, I said, I don't see anything wrong with it. It didn't get to that point, though, because he couldn't do it. After they went along a little ways, then she says, I'm not leaving this church. Period. That was like not negotiable. And if you know the truth, how often could you go to a Pentecostal church and know that what I'm hearing is not right?
Oh, he's a grace believer.
Yeah.
But that shows how strong he was, not, you know.
It took a while.
A lot of people would just kind of look over that, like you said, and just be like, well, it's different, but it's.
We'll work.
Yeah, we'll all make this work.
And people do. A lot of people do that. And you know what? It's usually to their detriment. It doesn't usually work out on the positive. It really starts to spread you further and further apart. And that's what happened. He said, well, I'm not going over there. And she kept going. And you know what? One day, and I'm not saying it happened, but one day she's going to keep going there. And guess what she's going to find? She's going to find a Pentecostal guy that wants her. And then she said, well, I don't have to switch. I'll pick this guy. Anyway, I'd use that for example. Okay, Acts, we said 20, house to house, right? And we got the idea. I was just showing you how their service went. It was some serious study going on in there. And that's something that we don't do today, is we go and we are in situations where we get everything but some study. So how could you really be established? And this is the thing. It's not what... Don't you think I would like to come here and have some music and sing and whatever, you know, to entertain us? But what God wants is for you to get some information. Because how you belong to Him. Why would I come in and do something different from what He told me to do?
But that's one of the main reasons, right, that we came, you know, got involved in like something like this, is because just the ritual of singing, being entertained, all that, it's like that didn't appeal to either of us. Yeah, and you're
going to figure an hour service, you get 20 minutes at best, and it's light.
Yeah.
It's real light.
One verse and three stories.
Week or the next time, it doesn't build upon it.
Yeah.
And the fact you're being entertained all week long through other stuff.
So yeah.
It's like, we're not lacking entertainment. You know, years ago, they probably, you know, to hear songs and, you know, gather, you know, that was probably really amazing to us. It's like we were just so up to here with, you know, TV, iPhones.
We got entertainment everywhere, right?
I like
We all do, Mike. Oh, Mike, we all do. That's us. That's us. We all do.
See, some of it's the genuine whatever. Like, I've been to places where it's like they'll sing a song and it really feels
like they're singing it for themselves.
Yeah, it feels fake. And some of it's like sincere. And to me, that's a big difference.
You know what? I was watching the, what was this? It was Best Sunday Best was on. And like I said, take the meat. Throw out the bones. And sometimes you know what? Sometimes the fish, I might have some fish, and they so little where after you try to pull the meat off, you feel, you know, I threw away the whole fish. And that's sometimes some of the Christian worship that we some of the worship that we have is such a fine line where you throw it out, you done threw out the whole experience. But like Jenny was saying, and like our pastor would say, the monkey shine. Where you get them and they like, you know, like, okay.
We get it.
And see, this is the thing, to be serious, is you singing loud and jumping and shouting, and then I say, well, let me ask you this. What did you get in Christ when you trust in Him? And you can't give me a post-it note full of information. What are you singing about?
Something you know nothing about.
That's what I'm saying. It's
singing to be singing.
Like, you know what? It's because it's the entertainment. You feel good. Of course. You know what? And it's such, if you mute it, and I did, I muted the sound on it, and I saw it, everybody, you know. And I'm thinking, if you didn't know any different, you could put any type of music to the background.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell if it was spiritual music or secular music. That's how you know you're dealing with flesh. So, like I said, Paul, you know, go ahead, Mike.
I think a lot of it just gives people hope.
Yeah, I agree.
Because a lot of them don't read in the way, and this is kind of giving them something just to
a shot in the arm.
Just kind of, you know, go through till Sunday again.
That's, you know what, you're exactly right. It's a pick you up.
Yeah.
It's to pick me up until, you know, I got over this bad feeling or whatever this, and then, but you end, you know what? You jump over that and you write in another one.
And some of the, like I said, the rituals, like, you know, every church and every, you know, black, white, whatever has different things, but it's like getting too excited about something. Like, you can be really excited, but, like, to me, to want to jump up and act crazy, it's like, that's just not my nature. It's like, it might be somebody else's. So if I see somebody do something crazy, it's like, you're like, okay. But like when going to Bellevue or different churches, it's like, you know, as someone's talking, it's like raising a hand up. And it makes you feel weird because you're like, I agree with what he's saying, and he might be moving me.
But it's like putting your hand up because somebody else.
It's like a ritual. Same way, so if some guy jumps up and I got to jump up and outdo him, or I'm so it's that kind of like ceremony type thing that just the flesh takes over and you're just like.
So the next thing you afraid to mess with
is
big
water. Yeah.
Right, now here's the thing though. This is where I'm saying is we can see all that. We've been a part of that. When we go to my grandmother's, they have a great choir. I like to hear it. And the songs move me. But I know what I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying? When I process that, I know what I'm getting. I'm getting all the meat. So Paul said this in Colossians. He says, "We are the circumcision which worship God
in the spirit,
and have
no confidence
in the flesh." No, that goes to all the activity that we, the physical activity that we get involved with, is we say, "Well, I'm going to worship God," and we get in the choir, you know, you do all your, you know, the worshiping, but he says, you worship me up here, not here, up here. You know, that makes sense. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians. Now, what we have to do, you know what our job is we have to grow to a point where not only that we know what we're singing about, and even if you, like I said, you could hear those songs, and then you know what, when he says, like, just for me, we sing a song, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. When he's singing that, you know that we're talking about how he purchased salvation. When you say just for me, some people might be thinking, just for me, I got this house. Just for me, he bought it. Or just for me, his car. He got this car just for me. They're not thinking of the spiritual benefits. They're thinking of the physical things that, you know. So, when they singing, that's what they're happy about. Mm-hmm. They're happy about all the things that I got. You know, very, very few people have a spiritual understanding that they're singing, you know what, I used to be in this spiritual state, but now I'm here. Or I know all the things that I've done are covered. Or not just covered, they are expiated. They're removed by the blood. See, that's the stuff I'm singing about. That's the stuff I'm happy about.
It's so easy to get snapped out of the spiritual state and back into the flesh. That's what. That's definitely the hardest.
I mean, it's in this. But you know what? You know what gets you there? It's information. So that's what Paul said. This he says. Man, I thought we're gonna get out 2 minutes early, Sherry. I said we're gonna get out early, but he says, look at verse. He says that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, this is kind of just the opposite of what they used to do. You remember when Elijah went to when he was in Mount Carmel with the false prophets, and it was just him. And he says they were in idolatry, and it was. This ought to tell you something. It was him, and I believe it was 50 false prophets. It was one against 50. God's man against 50 religious people. Sound familiar? And he said this. He said, you guys need to make a decision of who you're going to serve, who you're going to really serve. And he says, you take your water, pour it on the altar, and I'm going to take my water and pour it on the altar. All right, y'all, we need to read that, because I 1 Kings, let me sift through there for a minute. 1 Kings, well, I thought it was 18, but it's not 18. Maybe it's 2 Kings.
Is that where the fire was?
Yeah.
18, around 38.
Okay, let's see. 1 Kings 18.
Around 38.
That's it. Yeah, 1 Kings 18. Yeah, that's it. Look at verse 18:20. And you can read this too when you get home, because I don't think we'll get the gist of it, but you enjoy it. Verse 20, he says, Ahab was Elijah's, that was his foe, I guess, in that day. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are, 450. I said 50, 450. That's a big difference, ain't it? Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. All right. So what they did was they dressed it up and put it on there. Look at verse 33. Elijah gets his together, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishron and slew them there. Now, I said that, I use that example, and I'll tell you next week why I use that example when we go back to Corinthians.
You know what I heard?